When do you think a brand should go headless? And when shouldn't they go headless?
Yeah, tough one. Maybe it's easier to explain when you shouldn't do it. If you don't have an internal engineering team, don't do it. It's also the whole stack you need to maintain. It's basically you switch from a nice car to a Formula One car. And you need to put it in the pit stop sometimes, do more maintenance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to What's E-Coming. This time we're talking about headless e-commerce. So we want to clear up when headless is an option and when to consider Shopify Hydrogen or the new native capabilities of Shopify 2.0. Today we'll be talking to Dick, the CTO for Mr. Marvis, a brand that has recently made the switch from Shopify Native to a headless setup on Shopify Plus. We'll be asking him why they made the switch and what the benefits have been since the rebuild. So last week we were at the Shopify London reception with other Shopify Plus agencies. What did you think about the event, Paul?
Yeah, I really liked it. It was quite cool.
I think it was the first time we met somebody from the...
Oh no, the second time actually. We first met Jean-Michel, the old CTO. And this time we met the CRO, Bobby. And I think the key takeaway that I got from it at least, that Shopify is trying to move up market. So they're going to focus more on the enterprise brand. And with that, I think they're going to adjust the Shopify Plus plan. So what we see now is that Shopify Plus is quite equal to like the normal Shopify plans. They're not like that many features that differentiate it. And now there's going to be a big focus on adjusting that to open up for the enterprise market. And one of them that I think we've been waiting for a long time is the Adyen integration. So they're going to have a native integration with Adyen. And the other one is that they're going to open up the roadmap. So for the first time, we'll be able to see what they're going to build in the upcoming months. And it's not like a surprise when it's going to drop.
I think that definitely going to be an exciting one. So up till now, for us, even as an agency, it's every time a surprise what Shopify is going to launch. So a long-term roadmap will definitely help us and any merchant to plan ahead.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. It's still, yeah, you know how it now goes, for example, with Shopify Markets. Many of our customers experience it. It's like really hard to know how are we going to use it. What are the new features? Some stores have this feature, the other store has that feature. So hopefully it brings a lot of clarity to our merchants as well.
And since our work on the Pata and Tommy collaboration, we built on Shopify Hydrogen to test out the new stack. We've been asked the same question again and again. Why would merchants choose for a headless stack? And what is the better option, Shopify Hydrogen or a custom headless stack on Next.js? What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, that's a really big question. And indeed, we got the question many times over. I think we used to see that you would go headless just because Shopify wasn't multilingual. Shopify now is fully multilingual and multi-currency. So for a lot of stores that don't have like really specific requirements, for example, as performance or personalization, then it makes more sense to go with Shopify Native. But if there's like a lot of features or extreme features or customizations you want to build on the store, then it makes more sense to go to headless.
Yeah. And besides that, we often see that clients come to us with a very technical team.
Yeah.
And they're already dedicated to move to a headless setup. So that will be interesting today to hear from Dick, who is actually the CTO of Mr. Marvis and is quite technical at the same time. And also with Shopify 2.0 and Shopify Markets now offering, they actually make it easier building multi-language stores. So that's clear when you need to go headless or when to go native. But then you still have a choice to go or with Shopify Hydrogen or with like a custom headless stack. What is your verdict?
My verdict is it's really dependent. I think we started with Gatsby.js. I think then we moved to Next.js because it's just better in our opinion. And now you, of course, have Shopify Hydrogen.
We've been collaborating with the Shopify team since the alpha release. So we really built alongside them. And we built the first Patatomi project on Shopify Hydrogen 1. That was quite painful. It was not that advanced. It was not that ready. I would definitely not advise it for a production store. But now Shopify Hydrogen 2 is coming along. And I think it's like a massive upgrade. And now I think it's, we also see that with the brands that use it, it's quite interesting to see that, yeah, they really took the next step. They bought a Remix platform and it's a really interesting framework. So it's definitely worth to check out. I think it's still interesting to see where things are going with Shopify Hydrogen. But for now, I would still say Next.js.
Nice. Thanks. So in part two, we're talking to Dick DeLeo, the CTO from Mr. Marvis. If you know them, you probably know them as the best pair of men's shorts you'll ever buy. If you don't know, they're the marvelous menswear brand from Amsterdam and one of the biggest Shopify merchants in the Netherlands. They recently moved from a native Shopify platform to a headless setup. We'll hear why the brand decided to make the switch, how it has been going since, and what he sees for the future of e-commerce. Welcome back to What's E-Coming. And Dick, great to have you on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so as a brief introduction, Mr. Marvis is a menswear brand from the Netherlands and actually one of the biggest Shopify brands in the Netherlands. We are super excited that we have been collaborating on this on the great project in the last couple of months. But could you do a brief introduction and tell a bit more about the brand and your role also within Mr. Marvis?
Yeah, sure. So Mr. Marvis started a couple of years ago in 2015. They started with the ID. They really launched the product in 2016. In the beginning in the Netherlands, to really make the best men's shorts out there. That was really successful, and they started adding more colors and more products to the range. A couple of years ago, they opened the first store, so they became we became the omnichannel brand. The store is still our flagship store in Amsterdam. And nowadays, we sell shorts, trousers, swimwear, sport shorts, tops, jackets, really a broad range. Icons, if you will.
Yep.
What we really try to do is what Lacoste has with polos. We want to be the icon of shorts. And yes, we sell more, but shorts are still our primary product.
And so what is your role at Mr. Marvis?
I'm e-commerce director officially then. I don't really care about titles, so I'm commercially and technically responsible on the website. And we do that with a team, internal e-commerce team, in collaboration with, of course, agencies like AskPhil.
Yeah, and it was quite interesting for us to have you as a counterpart at the client side. I think you're one of the most,
most technical counterparts we had.
Yeah.
I had like a big opinion about the tech stack. That was really cool to see.
Yeah, I can't be the judge of that, of course, but
I wish we can tell you.
Yeah.
Because previously you already had quite some experience at DTC brands.
I started programming when I was 14, 15 years old. So like 20 years ago now. Now I feel really old. I've always been hands-on in the companies I worked at. I studied information sciences and then I joined Ace Tate as basically one of the first programmers, really earned my stripes there, if you will. And then after that, I've built a couple of product engineering teams. And then Mr. Marvis is my latest challenge since August last year, so quite recently still. But we the company was already thinking about the headless stack, and that's why I joined to make that happen.
Yeah, and in the past you've worked with Shopify, not at Ace & Tate, but I think at TravelTech.
Yeah, TravelTech. I worked at Shopify even recently with Routinely. It was a startup of myself with two others. Shopify is still one of the best e-commerce platforms out there. And it's almost unlimited scalability and gets you going within the weeks.
And what do you think is the main advantage of Shopify in the current tech stack for Mr. Marvis as a brand?
Yeah, of course, there's a whole ecosystem you can rely on. Shared knowledge, community. Scalability is quite an important topic for Mr. Marvis. Since we are now the biggest Shopify store in the Netherlands, it becomes evident you need scalability. On peak days, we process so many orders, not all e-commerce platforms can cope with that. And yeah, but Shopify has never really been an issue.
Yeah, and previously with Ace and Tate, I think they were on Solidus, or they are on Solidus?
No, when I was still there, we started migrating to Solidus. In my time, basically, we were still on Magento.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that was tough.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Hey, and Dick, let's move into the fun part. We helped you guys migrate to Headless.
Yeah.
Why the switch from Shopify Native to Headless?
Yeah, so what we noticed, and this is also a bit due to that Mr. Marshall started a couple of years ago before Shopify was really popular here. The whole multi-currency and multi-language setup was not optimal. What we basically have right now are 10 different Shopify instances for multi-currency and multi-language purposes. That works, but there's a lot of overhead. All the content has to be duplicated across the instances. And yeah, like I said, so much overhead. We wanted to unify that into a single content management system, simplify the stack. And there's also value in just redoing your stack, redoing core parts of it. But maybe even the biggest reason was site speed. What we noticed that the previous website in Shopify Liquid became slower and slower. Also due because of a couple of nested loops in programming terms. But like the average page speed was 4 or 5 seconds from a fast Wi-Fi connection. And I cannot even imagine if you're in the middle of Spain, on a slow 3G, 4G connection.
Where the sun always shines, so you need shorts.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was too slow. And we all know this, we all feel this, right? Everybody wants a fast website that loads in 1 or 2 seconds. And then we set out on a mission to make that happen.
So, and how did you experience the migration from native to headless?
Yeah, amazing. The results are amazing. So it was a lot of work. As you know, headless migration are tough projects, long projects. Basically, we did it in 2 months, 2.5 months, we migrated. But the results are really there. The average page speed, we improved it from 4.2 seconds to around 2.4 seconds. So we shaved 2 seconds, basically.
Yeah.
And that's massive. The conversion, therefore, improved by an estimated 8 to 15%.
Oh, that's massive.
That's in terms of our volumes, massive improvement. And even for the team itself, the developer happiness increased. Our velocity increased. We started with around 1 or 2 website releases per week because we had no CI/CD pipeline. And then you start combining changes and making release branches and really testing them out. And okay, then suddenly it's Friday, so you don't deploy on Fridays, etc. And you end up just deploying once or twice a week. Now we do around 4 or 5, sometimes even 10 deployments per day. Deploy often, deploy small. And really de-risked our release mechanism. We also implemented end-to-end tests now and really have a proper setup.
Yeah, it's insane. But you mentioned the 2.5 months. It's like, that's really fast. Yeah, so if people listening, that's like quite impressive. But can you maybe tell a bit also about your own team that you have in-house? Because in the end, it was a co-collaboration.
Yeah. So we did it with Ask Phil, of course, two people from your end, 2-3. Depends on your how you count. Two engineers from Mr. Marvis' team and myself. Basically all the tools are there. So you have ticketing software, you have GitHub that's really helping out. You have Slack, you have chat. The whole Corona helped in that sense. We all are used to remote working. Yeah, it was a non-issue. There was no issue to collaborate on the same code base.
Yeah, it was, I think, a really nice collaboration.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it was also one of the launches with the least bugs when going live. I think you also mentioned that the day you were going live, and I think it was going so smooth, and with a big migration like this, that's something you don't see that often.
Yeah, I still remember the day that we did the migration and the switch to the new Headless website. Okay, then you flip the switch. Okay, now what? We're really rushing into... rushing is not the right term, but we live towards that date. And then, okay, now it's done. And then, of course, you'd have to do aftercare. And there are some bugs, yes. But in the grand scheme of things, it was really smooth.
And how is it for the internal team who works on the content of the website? So you now switch from Shopify Customizers, obviously, to a headless CMS, in your case, Sanity.
Yeah, we opted for the Sanity CMS. I worked with it in the past. It gives you so much freedom. There's a learning curve. Yes, it's more than the mental model is different. Eh? You work with references to blocks. That also means you can repeat content a lot easier between pages and blocks, and you really create your own content hierarchy. There's a learning curve, but in the end, they really picked it up nicely. We got two people on content full time. We have a lot of content,
yeah.
But basically after the migration, we saw, hey, we spent one FTE less on content updates. So also really successful in that sense.
Oh, that's interesting. And that's because what you were mentioning, Mr. Marvs came from like 10 separate front ends, 10 yeah. separate customizers to manage.
Yeah.
To actually essentially one, which is Sanity.
Yeah, because they were duplicating, exporting and importing content between those Shopify instances so often. And nobody wants to do it. But all that is also very error prone. And now at least we have one content system where we have all the translations in one place.
And did it change other things for the content team besides the way they edit or update content?
Well, we're still looking into the ability of Sanity CMS to have a preview ability. We're looking forward to that, but it's in development. So right now there is no preview option. And that's what Shopify did have very, very nicely in their OS 2.0 interface, of course. No, for that's not much changed. Just a different interface and a better interface, if you ask
me. Yeah, it's fun or funny that you're saying that, like it's a better interface, and because I can imagine as someone being technical or having a technical team, it is probably much more intuitive. And but we also hear from clients who are like not that technical that they love the Shopify customizer. Mm-hmm. And personally, I also really love it. It's drag and dropping. It's
also really good. It's really good.
And I think the best part of the Shopify customizer is that you can also manage it from your phone. It's like, yeah, it's sick. But okay. With 10 stores, it's
impossible. We've never done that, but it's a good ability to have.
But I think also the Sanity preview feature, then it almost is like the Shopify customizer if you put it in correctly.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And so we often get the question like, when should you go headless? When do you think a brand should go headless? And when shouldn't they go headless?
Yeah, tough one. Maybe it's easier to explain when you shouldn't do it. If you don't have an internal engineering team, don't do it. You need more maintenance. It's more effort, yes. It's also the whole stack you need to maintain. It is basically you switch from a nice car to a Formula One car, and you need to put it in the pit stop sometimes, do more maintenance. I suggest if you have less than 1 million in turnover, don't do it. It is not really worth the effort. If you are not really focusing on conversion, you're more brand oriented, perhaps don't do it. But for us, the increase in page speed, yeah, immediately makes it worthwhile.
Yeah.
The amount of labor we reduce with a nice CMS, it immediately makes a lot of sense. To summarize, you need people understanding the stack, being able to program around it, update your dependencies, update security fixes. But from then on, you have what we also experience, you have a high velocity because any change, yeah, click, click, you have a pull request and it's live. And yeah. That's also what we get back from the internal team.
Oh,
huh? I just asked you this 10 minutes ago and it's live already. Yeah, that's what we can now do.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. We always say like you should go headless either if you are really want to go for the performance. Or like if you have someone on the client side, so in this case a CTO or an e-commerce director who really believes in the headless vision and wants to develop in React.
And it's also added composable e-commerce stack that has added benefits of freedom. Yeah. We can basically, in theory, we can get rid of Shopify in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Because it's just our PIM and ORM. If we want to plug in another system, we can do so. If we want to make a variant of the theme in that runs on the iPads in our stores, can be easily done by splitting off the, because we also use a mono repo, turbo repo. We make it a different package in there and new website theme. And of course, with the Shopify OS 2.0, you can change copy within 5 seconds. We need a new website release, etc. But feature development is so much smoother and faster right now.
Yeah, and I think it's also, we train also the Liquid developers. It's really hard to find good Liquid developers. Where with React developers, we noticed at least it's easier to find them in the market.
Yeah, hireability also counts. And if you want to have your internal team, yeah, they love to work with React.
Yeah.
In our case, Next.js and Vercel. And the hireability really counts nowadays.
Yeah, interesting. And what would you give it as an advice to anyone listening? Like, what is the most critical success factor with a headless project?
Good one. Get buy-in internally. So it's a long project. Maybe this is feedback on every IT project, but get buy-in. If you go live, there will always be bugs. It's just a matter of how hard you try to spot the bug, right? And of course, the website should be online, but there will always be bugs.
Be able to co-code with the team because, you obviously also coded a lot of lines during this project, right?
I've never been coding that much in my career in a short time frame. I got some new gray hairs. Let's put it that way.
Did you like it, the coding part?
Yeah, of course I like to code. No, I still program in the weekend just for fun. I also keep up with the industry trends, etc.
Nice.
But yeah, besides buy-in, iterate fast on it. We shared in beta.mrmarvis.com quite soon in the whole project, just after the second week, basically, just to get feedback in and rally around the common goal, if you will, how you call it. But also the people from customer support, they raised great points when they visited that website. Look at that and this. And we also did a bug bounty program.
Nice. Nice.
Literally with candies. Take a look at the website, then you get a bounty. we also discovered bugs that way. Just having others visit your website besides yourselves, it really helps.
Yeah, definitely.
Because if you're looking at the same thing over and over, you start missing things.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would like to end the chat with looking forward. into the future of e-commerce. Are there any particular e-commerce trends you are very excited about at the moment?
Let's start with ChatGPT.
Yeah.
it will have an impact on SEO, I'm sure. Theoretically, we can already make an indefinite amount of landing pages by using ChatGPT. We're not doing so yet. I mean, not soon, but AI personalization will really make a mark. That's also something we are going to look into that later the year, personalization. Think about it. Yeah, we sell shorts and trousers. And if the weather is good, you want to push shorts. If the weather is a bit rainy, perhaps push trousers. So we can customize later this year on weather outside, but also maybe your traffic source, your behavior on the website, etc. And with a new headless website and client-side rendering, it will become easier, will be easier.
And is that a tool you will partly buy, or is it an existing tool, or are you currently developing it internally?
We're only thinking about it right now.
Okay.
So we have to do the research.
And because you say personalization, So personalization is like the biggest USP of Shopify Hydrogen, the React framework that they try to push, or that they're pushing, of course. They just released version 2 with the Remix team. Did you consider Hydrogen with integration?
Yeah, of course. So when I joined, Hydrogen was basically just launched. So they launched it in June, July last year. I joined in August, so I started my research on, hey, what's next for Mr. Marvis?
Yeah.
What I noticed is that it was still early on. It was still in beta back then. For me, the release frequency was not high enough. And you still see that. They do one to two releases per month on Hydrogen, which can be fine. You doesn't have to release for the sake of releasing. But I don't think the speed of Hydrogen is fast enough. And I wanted to have ultimate flexibility. That was one of the reasons we went for headless. So we decided on a different framework.
With Next.js?
Yeah, Next.js.
So what do you currently have on the roadmap that you are working on that you see from, hey, this for us is like something that we want to go headless for, but also that we see as like a crucial part of our new website?
Okay, in that sense. Yeah, so personalization, basically the headless stack unlocks personalization with 100% development and business freedom, basically. A-B testing. I want to get rid of A-B testing with like a client-side flash of content. And now that Google Optimize is being deprecated, we're looking for other and/better solutions. Next.js middleware has nice abilities that are now unlocked. And we started slowly experimenting with a different setup. We currently made it ourselves in the middleware, cool, client side, but it's in alpha, if you will.
And did you already do some A-B test?
Yeah, actually this weekend. So we had our first discount campaign of this year. And we did an A-B test on the product pages. So 50% of the visitors got to see a before and after price. So it was more visible that they had a discount. And that improved conversion by 0.5% absolute improvement. So that was a great result. And then next discount campaigns will have strike-through prices on all product pages.
Look great.
Nice. Interesting. And we're always on the lookout for like cool brands or cool tools out there. Is there any brand, like a DTC brand, we should definitely check out? Or is there a specific tool? Maybe that's more, you're a better person to ask about the tools. Is there a tool we should definitely check out?
Yeah, well, we love to work with Linear. It's like a ticketing/Scrum tool. Really fast, keyboard driven. Yeah, I'm a sucker for dark mode, so it has dark mode, so yes. Also Rise Calendar, check it out. It's basically calendar defragmentation. tries to make your workday the most efficient one. Around video chat, they were acquired by Miro actually. Really nice. Really, we use it for the daily stand-ups.
Nice. Cool tools to check out.
And what's the difference between Around and Google Hangout?
Around has more like an playfulness around it. You can send GIFs, videos, emoji reactions. And you can, like, if you are sharing your screen, you can annotate on it. So it's more an interactive whiteboard, a Scrum board kind of vibe. And I've used it in all my product/ engineering teams. And then I never went back to Google Meet for that.
Interesting. Can check it out. I like GIFs. I like emojis.
Who doesn't, right?
Yeah.
So great. Thanks, Dick. Thanks for all the great insights. I think we learned a lot today again. And hope to see you soon. We'll be back for part 3 just in a second. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, Paul Martijn.
Yeah, thanks.
We're super proud that our podcast is sponsored by Shopify. You probably know by now that we're big fans. We have been a Shopify Plus partner for over 5 years. And it's simply the best, most forward-thinking e-commerce platform in the world. And with every episode of the series of What's Ecoming, we're giving away a free Shopify consultation. If you have a Shopify store and you want expert tips on how to improve and optimize your store, please go to podcast.askphil.com and fill in your email address. Our expert team of Shopify consultants will sit down with you for 30 minutes, giving you great insights into making the best from your store. Once again, go to podcast.askphil.com. Fill in your email address and we'll get in touch with the lucky winner. Good luck. So thanks for listening today. Please like and subscribe to our podcast channel in your favorite podcast app. See you next time.